It's Thursday, September 12th, 2013, and you're listening to Last Time of Video Games, a show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to Episode 30, Future Robots Are Cool. Running time for this episode is 56 minutes. Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games X. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Tyler Z.
And I hate both of you.
On the last exciting episode of Last Time on Video Games.
Goku was charging his lasers.
Well, see, we can't do like Dragon Ball Z comparisons because we actually get done in one episode.
So speaking of D&D, I've been totally not emulating a game called Adian Chronicles for the N64.
Is that the one I think of that I played Quest and you told me to play that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't play that.
It's not a very good game, but it is a lot of my D&D influence.
Really?
Yeah, just it feels like a tabletop RPG. You've got a character sheet like that. You've got skills.
Fair enough.
One of the first games you had on the N64, as I recall.
If by first you mean last, it didn't come out until 2001.
Really? It felt like that was one of the earlier ones that you had. But maybe because I'm all screwed up, and we know my memory isn't the best.
But I've been playing that again, mostly out of obligation. There are lots of problems with it, but it's okay. That's kind of all I've been playing. Kingdom of Loathing, but nothing super exciting to report. League of Legends, I've actually been playing a lot of, because they keep putting the characters I want on sale. So I buy them, and then I feel like I should play them, since I spent money on the game.
Fair enough.
And watching lots of Let's Plays. Lots of Dive Kick, because that's pretty awesome.
Sounds awesome. I might have to go get me some Dive Kick.
I wish it was on the 360. I would get it.
You don't have a 360, though.
Yeah, but I can steal it from my brother. He's coming down this weekend. Speaking of, I bought Fire Emblem Awakening, because I thought I was going on a trip to Wyoming. But then I didn't, so I haven't actually played it at all.
It's an outstanding game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I just haven't gotten the chance of that yet. Lots of Hearthstone, which I want desperately into the beta, but don't think it's going to happen. Unless we've got connections listening for some reason. If some dude at Blizzard is listening, hook me up.
And that's how miracles are made.
National finals are coming up next week, so I watched a bunch of games. TSM, TSM, TSM.
What's TSM?
Team Solo Mid.
Ah, okay.
They're my boys. Cloud9 is going to crush them. Cloud9 plays like a Korean team. And it's probably a good thing that they crush them, because if someone can beat the Koreans at Worlds, it's Cloud9. But TSM, you can do it, Reggie.
Eventually, they'll get better. They'll be like the underdog American team from Dodgeball.
Well, they've won every national finals so far, so they're not really the underdog. Cloud9 kind of came out of nowhere and are 25-3 on the season.
Holy crap. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Also, I think their longest game was 30 minutes, and their average is something like 23.
Wow.
Whereas the overall average is a 40-minute game. So they're just rolling.
Is that just because of awesome teamwork or unusual tactics?
Awesome teamwork and really good individual play.
Okay.
They're all really, really good on their own, and they play together.
That helps.
That's how a team is supposed to work.
Well, yeah, but they have the best individual play, and I think that's really what puts them ahead of the others. The only one that's really struggling with teamwork is the one on the bottom that I can't remember the name of, Velocity, who are 4-22.
Well, someone's got to be losing.
Yeah,
so.
But they're getting crushed.
So, keeping up the theme of N64 games, I've been playing Banjo-Tooie.
Oh man, that game is good.
It's pretty freaking amazing. It kind of dumps you in the middle. Like, it assumes that you just finished playing Banjo-Kazooie and dumps you right back in.
I actually played it right after playing Banjo-Kazooie, and it wasn't nearly as satisfying, which is weird to me.
Really?
Because it does. It's like, hey, you have all these moves, and here's an optional tutorial area if you haven't played Banjo-Kazooie, but I'm assuming you have, because I'm not going to take away all your sweet moves. That seems lame.
And it doesn't even really tell you how to use them, but you do get a bunch of new moves, and it's the damn first-person shooter modes, though. I don't know who let that out of test, saying, yeah, that did make me feel like losing my lunch all over the place.
I don't mind them that much. There are only, I think, 3 in the entire game.
Yeah, I think there are a total 4, because that's how many I've done, and I'm most of the way through it now. But, like, seriously, I do not get motion sick from games, but Banjo-Tooie first-person mode kills me. It is terrible. It's a lot of fun, though.
Good thing you got multiple lives.
Yeah, well, actually infinite lives, even. The only thing that happens when you die is they move you back to, like, the beginning of the level.
So what's the point?
Because it's occasionally inconvenient. If you're in the middle of, like, a quest type thing, it'll occasionally reset your progress on it, so.
Don't you also lose your note progress?
No.
I thought you did.
No, notes are absolutely vital in this.
Well, yeah.
No, you do not lose your note progress as far as I've noticed. I also don't die a whole lot, though, so, I don't know. Maybe I just haven't noticed. Been playing a little bit more Burnout Paradise. I kind of burnt out on Burnout because I played way too much of it at once and kind of unlocked everything.
Pretend I was a better editor and I put a rim shot there, folks.
What else? Been playing a decent amount of Counter-Strike, actually. It's a lot of fun. It's a spammier FPS than any other FPS I played. Oh, no. It's a lot more frenetic than a lot of other games, and I'm not really sure why.
Smaller maps.
I think it might be the smaller maps. I tried playing with 12-person teams, and that is way too many for most of them.
I'm almost positive that's what it is, because I remember Counter-Strike, like, the favorite maps we had were probably less than half the size of most modern shooter maps, like on COD and such, even the small COD maps.
And even in COD, my favorite maps are the small ones. I love Rust.
I'm less thrilled about Rust.
I know. You prefer the bigger ones because you play better than us, so we can't get lucky by just turning around a corner. So,
well, no, it's just because Rust is very vertical, and I'm not a big fan of vertical maps.
My one problem with Counter-Strike in general is not really a problem with Counter-Strike so much as the bots use no strategy whatsoever, even on the hardest difficulty level.
So they're giving you the true Counter-Strike experience.
No, see, I remember when we played, we would, like, sit there and consider all the different ways to get into the building and, like, coordinate as a team to, like, come in from all entrances at once. And
yeah, but we were also, like, 12 people in a cyber cafe. That's the optimal way to play Counter-Strike.
That is true. Let's see, what else have I been playing? There have been quite a few games. More Puzzle Quest, which is an awesome game. If you guys have never played Puzzle Quest, it's super awesome. And it's
pretty good. I think I only played Puzzle Quest 2.
Actually, from everything I've heard, Puzzle Quest 2 is in every way superior. The downside is it is not on the Virtual Console for the DS, but Puzzle Quest is. So, or 3DS, I guess. You know, whatever. Jeez, what else? I've been playing a lot of games recently. I played some Mario 64, just because.
It's also a good game.
I did a speed run, but it wasn't much of a speed run so much as a minimal run.
How fast?
Not nearly as fast.
I'm just curious.
I'm going to say offhand, like, 5 hours, maybe?
I was going to say, I think it would take me 3 now. I was below 2 when I was really into it, and, like, 53 minutes is the record.
53 minutes? Really?
Yeah.
That's really fast.
For 70 stars in Bowser. It's, like, 2 hours and 14 minutes for 100%ing the game.
No, I didn't 100% it this time, so.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, that's really fast. I imagine that involves uses of glitches with
no
early
glitches,
polygonal.
No glitches, but lots of wall kicks sending you places you wouldn't expect a wall kick to get you.
Fair enough. Let's hear. Played a little bit of Star Fox, actually.
Also good.
Definitely. A little bit of Professor Layton in the Miracle Mask.
Is that the newest one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the 3DS one, and they changed the art style. I'm not sure how I feel about it. It's still a good game. It is a Professor Layton game, so I can't complain about that. Jeez, what else? Everything? That may be the end of it. Played a little bit of Battlefront. Played some more Animal Crossing. And Heroes of Might Magic 6, which
you
is...
You play the kitchen sink. I hear that's fun.
I did a little bit, yeah, actually play the kitchen sink. But it mostly made kind of like this awkward swishing noise, and then I press a button and it like made this awkward grinding noise. So I just stopped playing with it.
Did you get up to 100-dish combo?
Yes, I did. It took me a week, but... Also, I got a new cat, so... All this and a new cat.
What have you been playing, Zach?
Well, because apparently we all decided to play N64 games this week just for the hell of it.
I knew it.
I've been playing Ogre Battle, Madden, which is not on the N64, 13. I've still got Jeremy's copy. Is that Madden 13?
2013.
2013.
Technically, it's Madden 24.
Yeah.
Since the new one is Madden 25.
I saw something that was like, what year is it?
I just took a nap. When did I wake up?
What year is it?
Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
It's exactly like today. Obama is still president.
He just declared himself king.
And we're like, yeah, I guess. Whatever. I'm too lazy to revolt, so.
Pretty much. still some more Shin Megami Tensei, because I can only play that game for like half an hour to an hour at a time. I'm kind of stuck right now grinding because I'm just stuck.
That's awkward.
So
no one likes grinding, except for those people who like grinding.
It depends on the game.
Stonemasons. Yeah, well, Pokemon.
I actually don't like grinding in Pokemon. I just accept it.
I don't like grinding in most games. I enjoyed it when I was playing Fire Emblem. But then again, I was also spacing it, so I was only doing it, you know, once every cup. Like, I'd play one mission before I went to bed.
I like grinding in Kingdom of Loathing, but grinding in Kingdom of Loathing is doing 13 different quests, and each time you do it, you get a new ability to make them go faster.
So it's less grindy.
Yeah,
I think that's it
for the games I've been playing this week.
Well, speaking of Shinten, that's a fun little series where you've got the main series, all of which have little subtitles, although the Shinten 5 have a...
Which one's Shinten 5?
The one on the 3DS?
That's 4.
Oh, Shinten 4. Does Shinten 4 have a subtitle?
I don't think it's called Shinten 4.
Is it not? I thought it was Shin Megami Tensei 4, Legend of the Obscure Subtitle.
It might. I apparently missed the fact that there was even a number on the back of it.
Shin Megami 3 is Nocturne.
Or I might be forgetting that there's a number on the back of it.
That might be entirely possible.
Since I've only played the one.
Something I learned today, if you buy the Saints Row games on Steam, Saints Row 1 isn't available. The first one listed is Saints Row IV, then Saints Row the 3rd, and then Saints Row 2.
In that order.
Yeah.
Because, obviously.
Because their naming conventions are all over the place. But
well, it actually is Saints Row the 3rd.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's actually what they called it.
But they didn't keep...
Saints Row 4 is IV, and Saints Row 2 is the number 2.
I thought they were using the Roman numeral for 4.
That's IV.
I know that's what it was. I thought you were talking... I thought because they had Saints Row the 3rd, I thought you were talking about how they made some kind of like pun with an IV.
No, I don't
or
think
whatever.
So.
No. It doesn't go in there. But anyway, Shinte is all over the place. Because then you also have Shinte Megami Devil Summoner and Persona, which
and
people
Persona.
Don't even call Shinten anymore. It's just Persona. They have Persona Fighting Arena.
Those are Shinten games?
Yeah, Shin Megami Tensei Persona.
I've never played them. I've seen one, like the first half of, I think, Persona 4.
I've heard 4
anime
is awesome.
Series.
The unifying theme between all these, as far as I can tell, having been a Shinten enthusiast since I first found it way back when on the Super Nintendo, basically there's a tower and you kill God, and I think that's the only unifying factor between all of these.
And demons, a lot of the same demons are in all of them.
Yeah,
Succubi
but
and...
calling it the same demons is kind of vague because it's really like all of mythology tossed together.
Yeah.
So because you have Thor in the multiple places, it doesn't really mean like it's reuse of cultural icons more than it is reuse of monsters.
Well,
but...
in mine, I've fought and beat Ares, so I can summon him when I get to level 31. I'm level 14.
Well, that's
that's why you gotta grind, right?
Yep.
Digital Devil Summoner. Super Special Reloaded. Oh no, whichever one that they republish on the 3DS. It's like a digital or Devil Summoner Overclocked or something.
I think it is Digital Devil Summoner.
Yeah, well, it is Digital Devil Summoner because you actually keep them on 3DSs. They don't call them 3DSs, but they're definitely 3DSs. But you beat Odin's ass, but then you can't summon him until you're level 51, which you can't really reach over the course of a single playthrough. That's actually, I really like the way they do New Game Pluses because instead of keeping everything, depending on how you finish the game, they give you points to spend towards bonuses on your next game.
That is pretty cool. That's a lot like Kingdom of Loathing.
That's
actually
I was going to comment to that effect.
I just like New Game Pluses in general.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well,
because that way, you know, it's like I spend all this time doing this in this game. And if I really want to start the game over with all the stuff I already earned and just completely annihilate anything that comes up, please just let me do it.
Yep. The other thing I like about this is that there are branching story paths, and it is impossible to get all the stories in one run. Even if you could, there are multiple endings which then go on for another, so the game runs for a week. Some of the endings go on for another week after that, which is pretty ridiculous. So, it's a pretty awesome game. I super recommend picking it up. I haven't talked about it a whole lot on the podcast, but
cool. I also like epilogues, but...
Yeah. Really, the Shinten series is awesome, but it's kind of got, it's like no longer a series, it's a franchise.
It's like three different series. And actually, Mega Man is really similar. You've got the Mega Man games. You've got X, which we'll be talking about later today. You've got Legends, which sadly is sort of defunct, but...
I've heard rumors that they might be picking it back up.
Legends the 3D one?
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy who made both Legends games really wants to do a third, and he keeps pitching it to Capcom every time he finishes a project. But every time they're like, well, we're not quite there, do another Dead Rising.
Well, Dead Rising are good games, but from what I can see about the third one, they're eliminating a lot of the camp that the other two had in them.
What I heard was kind of fun. There's a camp meter, basically. And, like, so you can decide, do you want a serious zombie game, or do you want the first two Dead Risings? That's what I've heard, though.
I guess technically, if you look at the first Dead Rising, it was supposed to be a serious zombie game. But the way Capcom writes stories meant you really couldn't take it seriously.
Resident Evil, where the horror is running out of ammo.
Well, did you play Dead Rising 1?
No, I've seen it copiously, mostly at your house,
I can loan it to you if you want, now that you have a 360 again. But you jump out of this helicopter, and there's a guy standing on the roof of the mall, and he looks at you and goes, "You came by helicopter, didn't you?" You just watched me do the dramatic jump out of the helicopter. Where the hell do you think I came from?
Of course I came out of a helicopter. I've photographed wars.
Yeah. Do you know how to use this? I photographed wars, you know. That didn't really answer the question.
Oh, man. Imagine someone handing Peter Parker web shooters. And he's like, "Can you handle these?" He's like, "I photographed Spider-Man, you know."
It's kind of the same thing. It's
like, although I think that's probably something that has happened in Spider-Man comics. So, but anyway, Mega Man has those three. They've got
Battle Network.
ZX or whatever the successor to,
Star Force is a successor to Battle Network, kind of. There's also like a tactical thing. ZX is more like a Metroidvania, but with Mega Man. It's pretty awesome. I really like it.
I thought you played like Axel in that one.
No, you play some random kid who gets the powers of X and or Z. I forget which, but maybe both eventually. But it's basically a Mega Man game, except you go around and wander around an overworld map that's all connected and stuff.
So Mega Man, like Mario, is in a bunch of different types of games, but they have a much tighter connection than Mario, and yep, they're also more separate.
Yeah,
X
you don't
is
have
a direct sequel to Mega Man, but it's also like 100 years later.
He seems like he's died off, though, compared to Mario.
Oh. Mario? A lot of that is you're not in that zone as much anymore, and some, like, Nintendo.
I don't think I've ever been plugged in a Nintendo in that scale.
There was a time where your only console was an N64.
Still got it, too. I'm well aware of that. But at the time, I wasn't as plugged in.
And that was the height of Mario, because Camelot and I think another studio both got rights to make Mario sports games. And they made a bunch of actually really good ones.
But you don't see Mario Accountancy.
I still remember Mega Man Accountancy. Pretty good.
Yeah, Mario Tennis is a great one. Mario Golf, surprisingly good. And Square Enix has sort of taken the torch, but they don't make nearly as many.
They do a lot of, like, kind of... I notice a lot of the old publishers did a lot of, like, spin-off-y games that just happen to involve the main character. There are a lot of Kirby games that are not actually Kirby games that are pretty damn good.
Well, that's just because that he felt Kirby was super marketable.
That is true.
And
I mean,
so
it's an adorable
he's like, I'm going to make a game. It doesn't really have a plot, so why am I going to make a character?
That is true.
You can just describe Nintendo's business model.
Yeah, pretty much. But at least they use the same character for the same things. So at least it's consistently themed. All the jumpy shit has Mario. All the stuff with mansions and ghosts has Luigi, because, hey, they did that one time. Although I've heard nothing but good things about
Dark Moon. I should pick that up.
Which, coincidentally, is almost the name of an attack in the Pokemon trading card game.
Oh, Pokemon X and Y.
Yeah.
Coming very soon.
When are those out?
October, 19th? I want to say 19th?
That's the arbitrary date I pulled out of my ass based on something I remember reading on Reddit about an Australian guy complaining about how we write dates. So yes, the 19th. It's coming out. It's going to be awesome. I'm super excited for it. I've skipped the last, I think, 3 games, maybe only 2, but
I've skipped the last 2, and I think I'm going to jump back in with X and Y.
The last time I played was Emerald, and I'm planning on jumping back in with X and Y.
So, oh man, you played 3rd gen? I'm sorry.
I actually like 3rd gen.
I vastly prefer 4th gen, but
okay, remember, the 4th gen was on the DS.
Oh yeah, that is true. You didn't have one of those until recently, huh?
Right.
Actually, you never actually owned a DS. I always call the 3DS a DS, because really it's the same damn thing, but it's not.
I still call it a Game Boy.
Man, you're old.
I know, I feel like my parents.
I'm older than you, but damn, you're old.
Then yell at kids to get off of it?
I cannot wait until I'm crotchety enough to yell at kids to get off my lawn.
You actually own a lawn. You could yell at kids to get off your lawn if you wanted.
I do, but I don't really care when the kids are on my lawn, so.
See, that means you're not old enough to be crotchety.
I know, yet. I'm waiting to be crotchety enough to yell at kids to get off my lawn. Actually, Alex and I want to dress up as pirates and wander down the street when we're like 60 and just randomly shout things at people.
Also, your front lawn kind of weak. Your back lawn pretty good, but kids are not frequently in the backyard.
You've also got the epic tree back there.
I do have a pretty epic tree. It's like Yggdrasil, but for Colorado only. It's like the tree of, I guess, hippies.
Well, it's not high yet, is it?
Well, it is pretty tall.
Again, if I was a better editor, I would track down a snare drum, but I don't. So if you want Zach, who is a better editor, to edit these, leave a comment to that effect.
Wait, what? Did you just try to hand that off? I tried to
get the listeners to demand it be handed off. I was far more subtle than that.
Oh.
A way in which I'm not subtle, though, is my love for Mega Man X.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking amazing.
I first played this when I was like 13 and playing around with emulators, and I could not stand Mega Man games on a keyboard.
Really? That's how I learned most games was on the keyboard.
I also was not as good as video games. I couldn't beat Chill Penguin, so I quit.
Penguin's not very chill.
No. But then, when we played Ghosts and Goblins for this podcast, I had a really bad week, and I just wanted to, like, play a video game. And on the Virtual Console, they were having a sale. Mega Man X, which had just come out, half off if you also buy our own Ghosts and Goblins.
Because Capcom is apologizing for for Ghosts and Goblins.
If you remember, he did put that up on the blog way back when.
I was like, thank you, Capcom. And I played Mega Man X, and it was sweet. And now I play it, like, when I can't sleep.
You know, I think that's the first time that phrase has ever been uttered.
What?
Thank you, Capcom.
No, it's happened before. When they came out with Legends 2, people were like, thank you, Capcom.
Resi 4? People have thanked Capcom for Resi 4.
And then immediately took it away at Resi 5.
Well, no, they just banned them after.
10 years later, I mean.
Well, they just rode Resi 4 for as long as they possibly could. They made it on every screen imaginable.
That's because it was a good game, and then they made a terrible game.
Says the guy who hasn't finished it.
It's a good game, I just can't find time to play it. My wife doesn't like zombies, so sue me.
They're not zombies, they're parasites.
Same thing.
They're Hispanics. Also, there are giant ogres and Napoleon and, like, a, I think, supposed to be pseudo-sexual Venus flytrap, but
I don't remember that.
I don't remember the Venus flytrap.
Napoleon turns into, like, it's...
Oh, that thing. Okay.
Yeah. It's a thing. Also, you dump ogres into lava.
And what more do you really want?
To play Mega Man X.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mega Man X is that game where you shoot lemons, but occasionally you can shoot a really big lemon. So big.
That's blue.
So big that, in fact, it might actually not be a lemon anymore. It might be a cantaloupe or something.
Mega Man X is the 7th game in the Mega Man franchise. There were 6 on the NES, of course.
See, I just always assumed as a kid they called it X because it was the 10th game, and they're like, damn, we've done 9 of these? Holy shit, we need to make a new series.
So did I, but then Mega Man 9 came out in 2008.
Oh, really? They had one that new?
Yep. Oh, yeah. 2010, they released Mega Man X. They're both Xbox Live Arcade / Wii Virtual Console / PSN titles.
They're not, like, full disc releases.
Yeah, they were $5 or $10, I think. I can't remember.
State of Decay has really changed my opinion on arcade titles.
They can be really good.
Yeah, well, that's because arcade titles are basically indie developers who don't have enough money to go through the proper channels to get an actual disc published. So they stick it on Live or Steam because it costs way less to publish it there.
Sometimes
get State of Decay. You'd probably really enjoy it.
Yeah, I really ought to now that I have a 360 again. Thanks, Chase.
So Mega Man X, I believe it's the 7th. Or maybe I'm wrong and it's the 6th and they did another one on the NES. But I don't think so. And so they decided to change things up quite a bit. Part of that was they had a new console, so they had much better graphics. And the thing looks beautiful, even for a Super Nintendo game. This thing blows most Genesis games out of the water.
Which is odd, given how we've commented before on the Genesis being the pretty girl who has nothing going on upstairs.
And has blast processing!
Because Sega do what Nintendo don't.
Remember, Sega had Comic Zone.
Oh, yep. To be fair, Comic Zone looked good.
Yeah.
I think that's about all we could say about it.
Yep.
If I remember.
Yep.
Well, if you guys want to know exactly what we said about it, just look in the backlog
to the episode
and find it.
But, no, X looks good. The frame rate is fantastic. It never hiccups.
Yeah. I don't remember ever having it hiccup.
And they added 2 new movement options, I guess, that really changed the way the game plays.
2?
Wall jumping and dashing.
Oh, you know, wall jumping is so ingrained in me now in Mega Man games, I forgot that you couldn't do it in old ones, even though I played 2 of them recently.
I'm not going to lie. Wall jumping may be my favorite thing about video games. Like, I love it in Mario 64. It's ridiculous. You cannot ascend by hitting a wall. But Mega Man's a robot, and he can, and it's awesome. You can get around bosses with it. You can ascend, like I just said. You can slide.
A lot of the obstacles, in fact, require you to do it. Oh, man. Okay, so I know I'm probably going to harp on this a lot. If you guys haven't watched Sequelitis, I don't know if he's put out another one.
He hasn't. That okay. makes me sad.
Because Igoraptor is a lazy asshole. God damn it, Aaron Hansen. Do something.
Stop doing 50 things and do one thing.
But it actually forces you to slide in the intro level and teaches you that you can do that right there. Oh, God, it's so awesome.
A game over on the intro level.
I did the first time I played this game, too. There's no shame in that.
I think I did, too. I think I actually didn't. I think I actually got stuck where you have to wall jump because I was playing on a keyboard, and it was really awkward, and I didn't figure that out, so I had to restart.
Have you played Super Metroid? I don't suspect you have.
A little bit. Not enough to talk about it much.
Say, wall jumping is my favorite thing in that game. Just throwing out that out there. The game I'm designing definitely has wall jumping, because wall jumping. Anyway.
I'd say that if you're having an intro level that is so hard that people are game overing on it,
it's mostly that I was
up.
Like, it's not that hard. I was just being retarded. Also, what's the penalty for a game over on that? Oh no, you have to start that level over.
Oh no, I gotta play more video games.
As I said off the mics, I started the game in not a great mood. Not the game's fault.
Went into this expecting
stupidity.
To hate it, and
no,
now you
I
hate it.
I was kidding on that, but no, I started it, and because I'm an idiot. I didn't have the right controller, so I couldn't get the game started for a while.
The very first time I ever played this, an emulator I was using, it wouldn't recognize any of my inputs, so I couldn't actually do anything the first time I tried to play this game, and I really wanted to play it.
Aw, did you just get hit by spiky roll balls then till you died?
I did, yeah.
I don't feel like the intro level is that hard, like Tyler said. Maybe you get a game over, but that teaches you, a game over isn't a big deal.
It's really not. Really, all a game over does is make you lose all your progress on a level.
And it's not like you're going to be tearing your hair out trying to finish the intro. It's got a couple of mini-bosses that aren't that hard, and most of the basic enemy types. And the cars that don't show up again, which is maybe too bad.
I like riding them. They're kind of fun. But I actually kind of wish they had an element like that in any of the X games. I've played 1 through 3. I own the anthology, and I've only ever gotten through 3. But I don't think you ever have an enemy you can ride again.
Huh.
Which is unfortunate. There are things you
know.
Can write. Oh, no, I was just staring in that direction.
So like Mega Man, you jump, you shoot. This one has the ability to charge up your weapon, although that was, I think, added in 3. I'm not sure.
One of the Mega Man games has it. I know the one on the Super Nintendo does, but
this definitely isn't the first one, although it's retained.
And it's awesome. You have 2 levels of charge, which may or may not be important. The middle one is basically worthless.
It does more damage. And
so is the pop gun.
Yes,
well,
it is.
Well, that fires rapidly, though, which
yeah,
can
that's,
be helpful.
It's useful against hordes of small enemies, but really, you always want to be charging
robots,
your
weapon. Too.
It's not very good against small enemies, because you can't hit the small enemies in the first place.
Well, maybe you can't hit the small enemies. Those of us who can spam buttons while jumping can. But really, you always want to be charging your lasers.
I feel like they're also useful against the big enemies that take multiple hits, like the robot mechs that shoot missiles at you, because you don't really want to charge up and shoot them. You just want to get through them.
You know, I actually feel, I'm not sure if they're ever going to do this, I really feel that something they should do is make it so that you're always charging your laser and you're only not when you tap the button repeatedly, or when you're not using the buster.
That would be more comfortable. The controls can tire you out after a while, just because you're holding the button a long time.
I could see this being hell on a GameCube controller now that you mentioned it, because dashing? Those shoulder buttons are not super awesome.
It defaults to A.
You can change it, though, right?
I didn't know you could, so I played the whole thing with the dash.
Dash is A, not jump is A?
Jump is B. Fire the buster, I think, is X. And the GameCube controller is set up by an idiot.
It would be Y, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Because it'll map directly, and the Super Nintendo had it as Y, because that was actually the most convenient spot for your thumb. And then B and A were both within, like,
basically
wiggle your thumb around range.
Basically, the only way I could shoot was by using my pointer finger off the back of the controller, and that was not pleasant.
PlayStation controller, man.
Period of time.
Or the classic controller, which is basically a PlayStation or a 360 controller.
It's actually just a Super Nintendo controller with joysticks.
It's got 2 shoulder buttons, though, on each side.
Oh, that's true.
So. But yeah, having a nice shoulder button for dash, that's always where I have my dash.
Yeah, hardware issues were one of the big places that I was not very happy with this game, and it wasn't even because, and it's because all I had was a GameCube controller, so that's all I had to use.
That is true.
I was going to lend you Tyler's Super Nintendo controller, but you started this sooner than I thought you were, and then you sounded like you were done with it.
I was for quite a while until you told me about the lava thing.
So let's get into the main game, since we've just talked about the tutorial. It works like Mega Man. You jump, you shoot, then you fight bosses, and
gain their powers.
Yeah, if you can successfully beat them, you get a new weapon. There's a flamethrower in this one, a cool, like, cyclone gun, homing missiles.
Unlike a lot of the earlier Mega Man games where I felt like you should really conserve your ammo for all the guns, this one, I don't really feel bad using all the extra weapons, and also, when you pick up the ammo capacity thing, it automatically assigns you to whatever one's empty, even if you don't have that equipped currently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which they didn't do in the earlier Mega Man games.
I didn't notice that, but then again, I also, for the longest time, I only had the...
Just the buster?
The chill thing. Oh. I beat Chill Penguin pretty easily.
Shotgun Ice, I think, is actually the worst weapon in that game. I think all the other weapons are better than Shotgun
Ice.
They're
all fairly pathetic.
I think they're pretty good against the Knuckle Joes, though, because you can get behind them with the Shotgun Ice.
Ah, that is true. I never use it in that capacity.
The guys with the shields and the chains.
Oh.
In addition, as Zach was alluding to earlier, when you beat certain bosses, they have effects on other levels. When you beat Chill Penguin, for example, the ice level, certain fire pits in the fire level freeze over and are no longer an obstacle.
No, there's actually certain the whole level freezes.
Yeah, pretty much all the lava in that level freezes. In fact, there's actually a power up that increases your maximum health that you can only get after having done
that
this.
That was the only one I got.
Fair enough.
This game also introduces two other kinds of power-ups. Health power-ups, like we just said, which are hidden around the various levels. Most of them require an item from another level. Not all of them do.
Or at least having beat another level.
Yeah. And capsules, which give you new abilities. And those are a little wonky. The first one you can get is on Chill Penguin's level. It's the dash.
And I think you need that to get any of the other ones, too.
You do. And the dash is so...
It changes the way this game is played as compared to other Mega Man games in such a substantial way. I don't know why they didn't just choose to start you with it.
All the bosses are clearly made with the idea that you'll have the dash in mind. They all have attacks that are trivial to dodge with it, but a huge pain in the ass without. And the first time I played this game through, I did Chill Penguin's level last. So I was doing this with very few health power-ups and none of the other.
If you're as bad as I am, it doesn't matter if you have the dash or not. You're still going to have a lot of difficulty dodging most of the enemy's attacks.
Definitely some of the enemies are harder to dodge. Freaking Steam Chameleon is pretty hard to dodge without the dash. Boomer Kwanger, I think,
really
would be almost impossible.
I beat him by sticking to the wall.
Yeah, Boomer Kwanger, I don't feel like the dash helps you that much with.
Really? That's no, the only way I can avoid his drop throw thing.
I just stuck to the wall and fired missiles at him the entire time.
Oh. Yeah, so you had the missiles.
Even
that
if you
helps.
Have the buster, I stick to the wall and shoot him with the buster.
Oh,
and
well.
Then I just jump over him if he throws his boomerang.
That's a little bit more difficult because whoever programmed Mega Man didn't understand how to program in three dimensions.
What?
Oh? Well, yeah, what are you talking about?
Substantiate your claim.
He can't shoot down, he can't shoot up. He can only shoot directly in front of him. It's the same problem I had with Mega Man 2.
That is
yeah, but
Dr.
that's a
Light's...
choice, not a programming fault.
That's Dr. Light's epitaph, actually, is only made robots who can't shoot up, but...
Or down.
Why is that actually a problem? I don't really feel like it limits you that much, because almost all your enemies exist on a horizontal plane, and when they don't, it forces you to jump, which you can do pretty well in this game, so...
I guess it goes back to a lot of the games I play is normally... You minimize your exposure. If you could actually shoot up or diagonal, there's ways to get around most of the enemies that would be otherwise targeting you. So you could employ that to a much greater effect. And indeed, there are some enemies who are, like on the chameleon level, I remember there's an enemy that looks like a bush, and he spawns little worm things that attack, that they're like ankle biters. They hit you in the feet.
Yeah, and you jump and shoot the bush.
Except for the fact that you can shoot the bush, but they don't go away.
So you jump over them.
You shouldn't have to jump over them. You should just be able to take them out if you wanted to.
Or move on, because not
or
all obstacles
are solved
the same way.
Or because you're bigger than
they
are,
step
on
them.
Them.
Yeah, and actually, I don't ever... The worms really hurt you, if nothing else, that the woodpeckers pull out.
Well, those, or the... I was thinking little bush ones.
Yeah, I know what you're talking. They're like the metal hat guys,
Mega
except
Man
in bushes.
Mega Man is apparently so stupid and so poorly built that anything... can damage him.
To be fair, they're weaponized worms. It's not like they're just worms coming out of the ground. They are robots.
They're like that long. They're smaller than a freaking Roomba. I could kick a Roomba across the street if I wanted to. Well,
yeah, but there are plenty of things smaller than a Roomba that can kill you.
Like a Wolverine.
Wolverine is bigger than a Roomba.
I was going to go for a Black Widow or...
Oh, fair enough.
Poisonous Snake.
Poisonous Snake Widow.
Most of them are bigger than Roomba.
Not Vipers.
Well, the point is, Mega Man is a robot. He's a machine.
Designed to kill things.
Fighting robots designed to kill him. Really poorly designed.
Okay,
It's like a Roomba with a shotgun. I mean, it's not going to work.
But because this is a video game, and video games are inherently abstractions of reality, does this actually have a bearing on how the game is played?
Well, there's some parts that I had a lot of trouble with because you can't angle your shots. Like, there were a couple of bad guys that, they were above me. And I think part of the reason that this infuriates me so much is they can hit you.
And you can hit them by jumping and shooting.
They can do the diagonal things, but you can't shoot them in the same manner.
No, you can't, but it's a platformer. You're supposed to, like, use platforms. And in this case, the wall's a platform, too. So
why do the enemies operate under different rules than you do?
Because you're more powerful than they are.
You take more hits. You can unlock new weapons. You take a lot more hits if you have the armor and health upgrades. But even when you don't, you take more hits. And it's fine for a video game to have enemies that are stronger than you. That's the challenge. It's not good for a multiplayer game to have one side be stronger.
Unless you're playing The Witch.
But I think imbalance in a single-player game is fine. Usually it should skew towards the player. But I think in this instance, a couple of enemies with abilities you don't have is fine. In Ogre Battle, there are plenty of enemies that you can't obtain, for example.
No, but they all play by the same rules. All of the enemies you fight, with the exception, I think, of the boss. Bosses are the one exception to that rule. But I think anytime you find an enemy, player and the enemies should be operating under the same set of rules.
I heavily disagree.
Yeah,
I can't agree with that at all. In order to keep the enemies interesting, they have to not operate by the same set of rules internally, and by extension, they cannot operate by the same set of rules as the player.
These are the only games I've ever played that the enemies do not operate under the same set of rules the player does.
I have played very few games where the enemies operate under the same set of rules that the player does. So, I think most notably Mario and various first-person shooters.
Mario, the enemies operate under the same rules you do.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I have played very few games where the enemies operate under the same rules as you. Notably Mario and first-person shooters.
Ogre Battle, first-person shooters.
I guess RPGs in general.
RPGs, they all run under the same set of rules.
Although oftentimes they have abilities you don't, or immunity to poison and death, because those are useless abilities, because they'd be too powerful if they weren't.
And then you beat the boss and get them on their team, and they're inexplicably 20 levels lower than they were when you fought them. I'm looking at you, Magus.
Well, I'm just saying, most of the games I've played, the rules have been consistent throughout all the games.
So what I'm hearing is that you're not liking the fact that this game is operating outside of a certain set of preconceptions that you had about how the game should operate. Is this necessarily bad? I'm intentionally leveling an accusation to provoke a response, so...
I've said it before. Part of that is that I think all video games should be fair. I should be able to point to it and say, well, if he can do that, that means there's some way I can do that.
Well, by that same token, they should be able to shoot giant death lasers at you like you can at them. Would you prefer that? They should also have flamethrowers when you get the flamethrower
upgrade.
Players
should have an advantage. I'm saying that the fact that they can attack me where I can't actually attack them. Anytime you can attack an enemy in this game, they can attack you. But there are also plenty of times in which you can't
Where the converse is not true?
Yes.
There are times when you can attack an enemy and they can't. There are enemies you have range on. Many.
Well, yeah, there are some that can't shoot, but ignoring those. Well, okay, say the Knuckle Joes. I think they're an excellent example of what Zach's trying to point out.
Yeah.
They're the ones I had the most trouble with.
But they also can't move.
They're also probably the most difficult enemy in the game. And I think it's fine for some enemies to be harder than others.
Well, barring the bosses.
Yeah, barring the bosses and mini-bosses, but I would put in a separate category.
There's one that I had a lot of problems with because of where he is situated. It's really hard to get a shot on him without being able to attack, because he shields against your attacks, right?
Yeah.
But you can't jump straight up high enough to hit him.
No, the idea is to lure his attack, because he always attacks where you are instead of where you will be.
Well, no, you can lure it to you, but it's really hard to get a shot off against him because of the positioning.
Yeah, on the other hand, you can also just avoid them. You don't need to kill all the enemies. They're mild obstacles. Okay, I don't know which one you're talking about offhand, but...
It's, I think, the first or second one you fight on the... Is it Boomer Kowanger's level where you have to climb? I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's the boomerang level.
But the thing about the boomerang level is I think all of those are vulnerable to shotgun ice, because that's how I deal with them on that level, because it's such a vertical level, and you're in that confined space with the two walls.
Yeah, I just soak the damage and move on, actually.
There is also, you have a lot more health than most enemies, so it's not always a big deal if you take damage, although it can be, especially if you want to conserve health for later.
That just annoyed me. The other part that annoyed me is because I had a lot of problems with bosses, right? Since I don't know what they're weak to, I'd be switching to the different equipment I picked up, trying to figure it out. And then I'd die, and I'd have no ammo for my special weapons anymore, because when you die, you don't get it all back.
That, I think, is actually a problem.
It
I
basically
feel like
just
you
gives you the finger and says, well, you screwed up. You might as well just get yourself killed and go back to the beginning, because you're going to need to get any of this back.
Well, I see that complaint, and I think it sort of stems from most first-person shooters. When you die, you go back to a load or checkpoint, so you have the ammo you had then, and that makes sense for that system. For the most part, ammo is super common in this game.
Well, no,
I never felt like I had to conserve it, or like I was running out.
I'm talking about specifically
know,
right at the boss. There's nowhere to get it.
I know that, but I feel like that was sort of the lesser of two evils, because it would be even more common if every time you died, they gave it back to you. And you can tell pretty quickly when a boss is weak to something, because it does a lot more damage.
And it behaves differently. However, the early Mega Man games usually had a grinding area before the boss,
That's
so that
true.
If you died to the boss, you could go grind for more ammo.
And they do not in this one.
Except for the final boss, but...
Yeah, well, he has one deliberately made for that.
It's just you're being penalized for losing to the boss.
But on that,
what it felt like to me.
At that point, though, you've discovered that those weapons aren't super effective, so why use them? Your charge buster does more damage, usually. So...
What about the times when I had the boss's weakness and I got killed without any of the ammo for that?
Well... Sucks. No, I do agree this is a problem, but I'm not really sure what the acceptable solution is, because you already have so much freaking ammo. I guess it's a way to limit you to only taking the shots that you know are going to hit, because if you never miss a shot, you're not going to lose.
You're never going to be 100% accurate.
I think you can miss half the shots with most of the super effective weapons and still beat the bosses, maybe even a quarter, depending. Like, Boomer Kwanger doesn't take a whole lot of damage from the homing missiles, but you're going to hit most of the time, because they're homing missiles.
Yeah.
Conversely, like, Flame Mammoth might dodge some of your Cyclones, but they do a ton of damage to him because they're so slow.
I feel like
Storm
Eagle, I think, is the one that you're most likely to run out of ammo on, because if you're using the weakness, because you use over half of your Steam Chameleon thing on him, even doing the extra damage. Which, actually, he's not super weak to his weakness. I actually didn't even know it was his weakness.
I feel like his pattern makes him easy to hit with it.
Oh,
but
yeah,
we've had that argument before.
He's not that hard.
No, he's not that hard in general.
He was
the second
easiest guy I beat.
He is a pain if you don't have the dash, because he can push you off the side of the airship.
Oh yeah, I could see that being a problem.
I suppose that's true.
But if you have the dash, then yes, he's pretty easy.
You know, I played this game so much now. I know where all the power-ups are. I actually ranted earlier about arbitrary limitations, and by earlier I mean like 20 episodes ago or something. About how stupid imposing arbitrary limitations on yourself that the game didn't impose for you. And I'm gonna have to take my words back.
You've done Buster Only runs?
I've done Buster Only runs, so. I've imposed no power-up runs on myself for this game,
well,
so.
In order to keep the general opinion of the podcast up, I find those stupid.
Sweet. Although, haven't you done things like that?
No.
No? Never?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, never mind.
A few times, the closest I've come to that is playing COD, and I'm feeling, playing some kind of first-person shooter, and I'm feeling like an asshole, and I said I'm only going to use a pistol or something to screw with you people.
Remember, Zach is the guy who, when we would play Counter-Strike and do, hey, scouts only run, or pistols only run, he would reject that, and he would be the one who escalated.
Was that Zach who did that? I always blame that on Chris.
Most of the time.
I don't remember doing... I'm not saying I did, and I think there's at least one or two that I think I did, but I can't think of straight up. Usually, though, when we did those, I don't remember doing any scouts only. It was the agree thing was no op.
No, we occasionally did scouts and knives.
Well, scouts and knives, you can't buy anything anyway, so I never got anything on those anyway.
No, you can't impose that restriction in the game.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. I am playing Counter-Strike right now.
There was
you cannot
a map,
do that.
There was a map called Scouts and Knives that you could impose that because there was no buy zones.
Nope, the map was not called Scouts and Knives. It was a Scouts and Knives intended map, but you could buy other weapons on it. I'm playing that one, actually.
Huh. I thought that map had either no money or no buy zone on it.
No, you can turn off money, though, so you can do that.
That might have been what it was because I was playing in server The few times I played it, it was servers that had that turned off, so.
But yeah, Mega Man X. It's an awesome game that everyone but Zach says things about. I guess Zach also says things about it, but.
Well, the game itself is well put together. It's a very pretty game. Most of the stuff works all right. As I said, a lot of the problems I had that predisposed me to not liking this game, and then later on just reinforced that, was hardware issues with, because Nintendo is...
made the GameCube controller, which you consider an anathema towards all humanity.
The GameCube controller is the worst controller ever designed.
Even over the N64?
Okay.
The N64 controller isn't actually bad, though. It looks terrible, but it plays fine.
You got a third hand you haven't shown me in the long years we've known each other?
Have you ever played a game and been like, man, I need a third hand to play this video game?
Yeah, see, that's the thing that with the N64 controller. You need three hands to use all of the buttons, but most games are designed to not use all the buttons.
Because no one in the world can use all the buttons at the same time.
Agreed, it was poorly designed.
But is it even poor design if it has multiple configurations?
Yes!
Why?
Because the 360 controller has multiple configurations. The PS2 controller
has
multiple configurations.
No, it doesn't. It has one configuration. You can just hit all the keys at the same time, which I think is the optimal solution.
Well, part of that, I think... Well, you can use the D-pad. The D-pad's kind of pathetic, but you can use it. You don't have to worry about shifting your grip. You don't have to move around. Same thing goes for the PS2 controller. You can reach everything you need on that one.
But you can't reach the D-pad and the second stick at the same time.
No, not simultaneously.
Yes, you could.
Okay, you could, but you can't use them at the same time. You can't use two sticks and the D-pad at the same time. I mean, I guess you could, but
with
it would be
your,
super
like, index
awkward.
Finger or something? Well, you could lick it. Oh man, I just figured out how to use the N64 controller. You use your tongue for the analog stick.
Okay, mine is so old, I don't think I want to do that.
Off this controller tangent, we've talked a lot about Mega Man X, but we've barely scratched the surface. We didn't talk about all the bosses or how good the levels look. I mean, we talked about how the game looks good, but again, all the levels are back to looking very distinct. Even though they reuse a couple enemies... They all feel different.
They look very distinct. They play very similarly, though.
The music in this game is not as great as I am used to Mega Man games being, but it's still pretty good.
Okay, it's
not bad.
I gotta ask you guys, what did you think of the mech parts? Where you're riding around in the mecha thing?
They're fun.
Yeah.
That's all that's important.
They didn't seem important to me. It was like, here's a mech because...
I think part of that is...
You're a pathetic robot. You need something to help you.
I think part of that is they're designed in case you lose the mech, because you can. You can get destroyed while you're in the mech, and then you have no mech. And then you have to fight them on foot, so I think they're not designed to be entirely game-breaking. In X2, you need freaking mechs, and they force you to use them in order to unlock all the stuff, so...
Also, frequently the mech sections are both easy and will drop health, so they can be a nice health recovery spot. And that's more fun than just getting a big health bar.
Yeah, I feel like they're amusing diversions, but...
I feel like they're fun, that's all that's important. And you can do the Yoshi Abandon maneuver to get some secrets.
Yeah, that's always fun.
They seemed out of place to me, and I wasn't entirely certain how I was supposed to get out.
I felt that was intuitive, but that's...
No, I definitely had issues with that the first time.
I kept having... I'm still not entirely... Are you supposed to double tap jump?
It's up and jump.
Up and jump, okay. I never quite figured it out. I just started, every time I had to get out of the suit, I just started flailing around and hoped I'd get out.
But yeah, there are mech sections. There's an entire level of Armored Armadillo where you're riding mine carts.
That's true, and that's cool too, but that's frenetic action because you're going quickly, and even though you don't really need to shoot,
you can, and you can destroy bats.
That one was probably designed because it looks good as the opening thing if you just leave it alone for too long.
Do they ever put that in the opening thing? Honestly, I feel like that part's fun to play.
If you leave it alone too long, because obviously I couldn't hit start because I'm an idiot, it goes in and starts showing you like
various portions
playing
of the levels.
Well, no, just that level, just Armored Armadillo's level.
Oh, really? Because way back when, I only remember showing the intro sequence, and I thought I was playing because of that. But
we also haven't talked on the story or theme, though I feel like Egoraptor does that way better than we could.
Yeah, I'll probably link Sequelitis in case you guys have somehow not ever seen that, but...
It's got a very slowly paced story. It's got the opening where Zero talks to you and you get beaten by Sigma.
And Zero's like, hey, one day you'll be as awesome as I am. And then you slowly become as awesome as Zero, and then Zero sacrifices his life for you. And if you didn't get the Buster upgrade, it gives you his Buster arm and said, The cycle is now complete. You're now as cool as I am.
And then you fight the guy he fights at the beginning and beat him. And also the power-ups, you may not have noticed this because the helmet is the most obvious one, but the armor as well make you look more like Zero as you're going through.
Why didn't you just start with that stuff?
All other robots are based off of your design, so everyone's improved on your design since then, which is why everyone else can angle their shots.
And from a story perspective, it's the hero's journey. Zero is Obi-Wan Kenobi, who's this big, powerful Jedi, and you are Luke Skywalker, who you feel weak because you got beat up by this guy in a robot suit. As you go on, you get stronger and stronger and get a sweet flamethrower. Then you're able to defeat the guy who gave you so much trouble in the beginning.
It feels like the same thing that Tyler mentioned about the first Ogre battle way back when. They presented a story thing and then basically said, we're done. All right. That's your lot. And now you're going to get to play for the next 6 or 7 hours and we're not going to tell you jack about what the story is.
I don't even really think this game has it does, but it's so minimal. I would more call it good theming. There is, I guess, the framework of a plot, but they never really fill it in. The next games actually try to introduce plot, and I'm not sure that they're actually stronger for it.
The PSP remake gives you dialogue with all the bosses and gave them all backstories, but I've heard mostly that game is not as good.
Well, all the bosses feel really energetic, and they all have distinct personalities on the way they hold themselves, but on the other hand, you just kill them and take their weapons, so you don't really care about their backstories.
Your D&D party, you're killing exactly. And taking their stuff.
By the time you get to X4, all the bosses have, like, voiced intros and, like, backstories and conflicted paths, and you just kill them and take their weapons. It's kind of like, I think last week you were mentioning about GTA 4, where you have, like, this hero with a conflicted pass, and he really does, he wants to make a new, better life, and every time he goes to the mall, he kills 20 people on the way.
Well, yeah, that's the biggest break in the GTA 4 is... conflicted past.
Oh man,
this guy's in front of me. Well, I'm gonna get out of my car, steal his, shoot him in the face, and then keep on going to my date.
So the actual story in Mega Man X that they present you in the intro is everyone's gone maverick due to a virus or something. But imagine if Zero and X are actually the insane ones and everyone else is normal, and Zero and X are just like sociopaths going around killing all these perfectly normal people. And everyone's just like, holy crap, these guys are coming at us with guns. Throw worms at them!
And Sigma is just a Darth Vader LARPer. That's why he plays along with you at the end.
It makes so much sense. Oh, by the way, Sigma's bull. Just so you guys know.
He's hard. I don't think he's that hard.
That's really what I meant.
Especially if
you get the Hadouken, then he's trivial.
Well, everything's trivial with Hadouken. By the way...
I wanted to take a crack at it, but I couldn't beat Chameleon. And then because of my aforementioned hardware issues... all of my progress, I was not inclined to try again.
Do we need to write a new song called I Can't Beat Sting Chameleon to the theme of I Can't Beat Airman?
Kiss my ass.
Sting Chameleon was tough, but I thought Sting Chameleon was tough for me because he was the first one I tried to beat because I felt like I was so close the entire time and I was just not quite there. I gave up.
I never felt like I was close to beating him.
Dude, Buster Only Run, freaking Armored Armadillo. He is impossible without...
He's hard. Well, if you get some sub-tanks, though.
Actually, I find the biggest... He has a fairly predictable pattern once you know it. You just have to realize that he's going to retaliate to every time you hit him.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't do if you knock his armor off. Really, the weaknesses of the bosses in this game don't make a whole lot of sense.
They never did, though. I mean,
that is true.
Scissors, but...
Like, really, the only thing that makes sense is ice is weak to fire. From there... I guess you have to guess.
Like I said, both Sting Chameleon and Storm Eagle, their patterns make them look weak to the weapons they're weak to.
That is true. And if you try all of them out, you will notice that it's really easy to hit them. Except Zack apparently can't hit the Sting Chameleon with the boomerang because he's like sneaky or something.
So anyway, we've gushed about this game a lot in the past. It's still great. It's one of my favorite games. And it's not nostalgia. I played it for the first time this year. I seriously recommend
you get it. Wait, for the first time
this
year?
Well, I played it when I was... Okay, I beat more than one boss the first time this year. I seriously recommend you play it.
If your opinions line up closer to me, then you may not have a whole lot of fun with it. But it's at least worth a look, because it does look very pretty. The controls... Fix the controls before you start playing, for one. Because the basic configuration is terrible.
Unless you have a Super Nintendo controller. Because it was actually meant for the Super Nintendo controller, and it works fine on that.
If you're playing on the GameCube controller, change the key bindings. Trust me on this one. Just do it.
Or find some way to not use a GameCube controller, because why would you play this game with a GameCube controller?
Why would you play with a GameCube controller? You have to sit, like, staring right into your TV, so then you can only get the small box where your eyes are.
What about the wireless, man? Really?
I forgot I had a wireless controller until after I pulled the damn Wii off the TV.
If the point of this game, or the point of this podcast is gaming history, this is definitely worth a look. If nothing else, because it's pretty and, I don't know, it's an awesome game.
Well, it's certainly worth, what is it, $8 on?
Yeah, yeah. $8
on there. Well, I didn't really care for it. I gotta say, I think my money was well spent. At the very least, when I actually started getting into the groove, I did start having, I have to admit, some fun.
Right. Some.
Since some. You begrudgingly had bit. Fun with this game, Zach, we will throw you a bone. You spoiled it earlier because you said you were playing it already because you started early. But next week, we're going to take a look at the sequel to Ogre Battle, Zach's first episode, with Ogre Battle 64, one of Zach's all-time favorite games, a game I like, a game we've been trying to make Tyler play for a while now, and now we have the capital to do so. So next time on Last Time, Ogre Battle 64, Person of Lordly Caliber.
Yes!
I'll consider you a person of lordly caliber if you play with us. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2013.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. And if you want to contact one of us individually, I am Zach@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or Jeremy, Jeremy@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can visit our show page, if you don't want to hit the blog, at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to visit the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And we've got an RSS feed. You should probably click on it, or one of the other buttons on there.
We're also on iTunes.
And the Twitters.
Twitter is at LTOVG.
Unlike all the games we play on this show, we cannot be emulated. Really quick segue. That's like 40 miles an hour, and then you'll fall over because segues aren't designed to go that fast.
Da 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 da.
Boop.